All right, Will's Trust in the States. This is the week 4 and 5 guide. So you use this for both. And we're going to cover intestate succession. So 755 ILCS 5/2-1 gives us the rules of descent and distribution and refers to an intestate real and personal state of a resident decedent. That's the statute. That's where you're going to go. Part of your reading was to go and read and break down the statute. Part of your reading was to read another resource. I link both of those to Blackboard, to the week 4 assignment. If you haven't reviewed those two things, go do that, because this won't make any sense unless you have. So read the article. It's web-based. And then go to the statute that I linked and read the statute. Statute may seem a little complicated, but you need to read the statute and then listen in or watch what we're going to talk about here. So the realities. If you die without a will in Illinois, your assets will go to your closest relatives under state intestate succession laws. So that's a misnomer. That's one of those things that people think, well, I don't have a will, so the state's going to take my property. I will talk about that in a second, but it won't. It's not that your property goes directly to the states or to the state. Which assets pass through intestate successions rules and provisions? Only assets that would have passed through your will are affected by intestate succession laws. Usually that includes only assets that you own alone in your own name. Many valuable assets don't go through your will and they aren't affected by intestate succession laws. And here's some examples of those. And you're getting familiar with property, so this will make more sense to you at this point. Property you transferred in a living trust. Life insurance proceeds, you know, that are directed to a beneficiary, which many of you have, most of us have. Funds in an IRA or 401k or retirement account designated to a beneficiary. Securities held in transfer on death accounts. Real estate held by transfer on death deeds, so as joint tenants for married folks, et cetera. Payable on death bank accounts, where you have somebody listed as a joint member and then that property gets transferred to them upon your death. Doesn't get probated, not subject to intestate succession. Property you own with someone else in joint tenancy or tenancy by the entirety. So real estate, any other property. You can own cars that way too, I guess, is jointly owned a vehicle. These assets will pass to the surviving co-owner or the beneficiary you named, whether or not you have a will. So it doesn't matter if you had a will or not, if you said something in the will, but you had held the property in these manners or any of this type of property in that way, will doesn't apply anyway, and neither does intestate succession. So who gets what under the statute? And if you've done what I've asked and you've tried to read the statute, you've seen that there's, you know, it's kind of like an algebra equation, and you really have to map it out. So if there's children but no spouse, your children inherit everything, split equally based on the number of kids you have. If there's a spouse but no descendants, now descendants are your children or your children's children or your children's children's children, right? If there's no descendants and a spouse, the spouse inherits everything. If there is a spouse and descendants, the spouse inherits half and the descendants inherit half. And so they would take that half and be divided based on their class. So you have four kids, your four kids are going to split that half. Parents, but no spouse, descendants or siblings, the parents would inherit everything. So we started going you know, over to your spouse and then down through your descendants. Now we're, you don't have a spouse, you don't have any descendants, and you don't have any siblings. Your parents would inherit everything. So now we're going kind of back up from you in the family tree. Siblings, but no spouse. The descendants or parents inherit everything. Parents and siblings inherit your intestate property in equal shares, except that if only one parent is living, that parent gets a double share. The spouse's share. In Illinois, if you're married and you die without a will, what your spouse gets depends on whether or not you have any living descendants, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. If you don't, your spouse inherits all of your intestate estate. And if you do, then your spouse will get 50%. Okay, and then those descendants get 50%. Children can be a little more complicated because we have different classes of children. If you die without a will in Illinois, your children receive an intestate share of your property. The size of each child's share depends on how many children you have and whether or not you're married. For children to inherit from you under the laws of intestacy, Illinois must consider that they're your children legally. For many families, this can be a confusing issue. It's not always clear. So here's some things to keep in mind. And this was in your reading. Adopted children. Children legally adopted receive an intestate share, just the same as a biological child. Illinois treats adopted children legally adopted as biological children. No difference. Foster children and stepchildren. Foster children and stepchildren you never legally adopted will not automatically receive a share. And in family law, we've talked about this at least once about stepchildren, and people get confused there. But a stepchild or a foster child, there is no legal connection like there is for an adopted child or your biological child. Children placed for adoption. Children you placed for adoption who were legally adopted by another family will not receive a share of your estate if, however, your biological children were adopted by your spouse. That doesn't affect intestate succession. So we have related adoption, which we'll cover in family law when we get there a few weeks from now, and it'll seem like a few weeks. It's actually about 8, but posthumous children, children conceived by you but not born before your death, receive a share. Obviously, we can connect those children back, or there's the ability to connect them back as the child of this person. Children born outside of a marriage. If you are not married to your children's mother when she gave birth to them, they will receive a share of your estate if you acknowledged your paternity, or if during your lifetime or after your death, a court establishes your paternity. Again, something those of you in family law will understand or study. And all the statutes are listed on the slides and linked from the slide, so you can go to these statutes to find these specific rules or specific portions of the statute. Artificial insemination. A child born through artificial insemination after your death will receive a share if you consented in writing to the artificial insemination, and that's part of our law. And the child was born within 36 months of your death. 36 months, 3 years. So law, grandchildren. A grandchild will receive a share only if the grandchild's parent, your son or daughter, or the decedent's son or daughter, is not alive to receive his or her share at the time of the decedent's death. And again, all those statutes are linked to the slides. They're also linked to your reading. The question always comes up in intestate succession, really before people find out that we have a statute that covers this. People believe that the state will get your property if you don't have a will. If you die without a will and don't have any family, your property will escheat. It's one of those words that you should look up when you see it and read it the first time, escheat, into the state's coffers. This happens very rarely because the laws are designed to get the property to anyone who has even a remote relationship to you. So, for example, your property won't go to the state if you leave a spouse, children, grandchildren, parents, grandparents, siblings, nieces, nephews, cousins, or great-grandparents. That's a lot of family in a lot of different directions. And maybe there's someone who doesn't have any of those folks, or we can't locate or connect those dots, but that's probably going to be pretty rare. So that doesn't happen that often. It won't be something you have to worry about that often. Some other intestate succession rules to be aware of, and the statutes for these are also linked to the slides provided, I believe, on the webpage that I referred you to as you're reading for this section. Survivorship period. To inherit under Illinois intestate succession, a person must outlive you by 120 hours. Okay, 120 hours. What's that? That's for 3 40-hour work weeks, right? 120 hours. It's not that long a period of time. It's not the 36 months that we just looked at. So if you and your brother are in a car accident, he dies a few hours after you, his estate would not receive any of your property. He didn't survive you by 120 hours. Half relatives. Half relatives inherit as if they were whole. That is, your sister with whom you share a father but not a mother has the same right to your property as she would if she had both of your parents in common. Posthumous relatives. Relatives conceived before but born after you die, they inherit as if they were born while you were alive. Immigration status. Relatives entitled to an intestate share of your property will inherit whether or not they're citizens or legally in the United States. Killing the deceased person. Someone who intentionally or unjustifiably kills you doesn't get to receive your property. Good, that makes sense. Offenses against elderly or disabled. If you are elderly or disabled, a person who commits certain offenses against you, primarily those involving exploitation, abuse, or neglect, will not receive a share of your property. And then advancements. If you give property to a relative during your lifetime, the value of that property is subtracted from your relative's share only if you wrote this down at the time of the gift for your relative or your relative admits that this was so in writing. And that happens from time to time. You'll have a client who, will say, well, I want you to reduce my share of dad's estate because dad loaned me or gave me $10,000 in advance because I needed the money or whatever the case may be. So you might run into that. Otherwise, that's intestate succession. I'm going to throw a little wrinkle in here to see if you really listened to or watched this guide and don't share this with anyone else. But by Wednesday of next week, week 5, I want you to post your family tree. I want you to cover, you don't have to go back to, you know, forever and ever, but I want you to cover everything out and down from you. So spouses and children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. So most of you aren't going to have to go very far that way. And then I want you to go up from you. I want you to go your parents, your siblings, your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, and your great-grandparents, and your great aunts and uncles. Go that far that way and that far that way. And I want you to create that family tree and post that by Wednesday, let's say at 10 p.m. I usually ask students to do this family tree at this time because it helps them put into context their own family for the purposes of intestate succession. Over and above that, and maybe to help out, it gives you an idea that you can better grasp the intestate succession statute by considering your own family circumstance. This is going to be your guide for both weeks. So if you struggle in week two with anything that we're going to cover, which you probably shouldn't, but if you do, come back here and watch this and pull up the slides and go back to the reading. The week four and five guide. Stay well.